Reading today is from Philippians, starting at chapter 3, verse 12, straining toward the goal. Not that I have already obtained this or am perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and Christ, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word. Thank you.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A goal is a good thing. It's a really good thing to have something to aim for. If you aim for nothing, that's what you're going to hit. So it's much better to have a goal and aim for the goal. At least you've got a chance of achieving it. We need clarity about what the goal is. Putting the ball in the net, that sounds like a good goal. Or perhaps if you're the goalkeeper, stopping the ball going into the net sounds like a good goal. Perhaps your goals are more simple, getting the grass cut. Perhaps our goals involve being a living church, the title of the book our book group are reading together for next month. We need confidence that we can achieve the goal which is set before us. If our goal is to climb Craig Lockhart Hill or to climb Everest, which one might we have confidence that we would achieve? Someone one time said, no one ever climbed Everest by accident. No one ever achieved a goal by accident. You identify the goal, you work towards the goal, you prepare and train and resource yourself to achieve the goal. If our goals as disciples of Jesus, if our goal as a congregation of the church of the Lord Jesus are in line with his word, we can be confident that God will pour all the resources of his great power and love within us and upon us to achieve that goal, to bring us to that goal. Will you press on towards the goal which is set before us? Paul writes, I press on. Paul writes of straining forward in the verses we read together earlier. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God sets a goal before us. He calls his people, each one of us, upward to achieve that goal. It's kind of like the Olympics, where you've got the podium that the medal winners go on. And when the winner's name is called up, they are called up, onto the podium, upward, to having achieved the goal of winning the medal, to receive the prize. God calls us upward. The disciple presses on, strains forward for Jesus Christ, for becoming like him. Look again at verse 17. Paul writes, "Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eye on those who walk according to the example you have in us." In another verse, Paul writes, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." The goal towards which we are called is the imitation of Christ, to live according to the example that Jesus has set before us. The goal of Christian living is washing other people's feet. The goal of Christian living is weeping over the city. The goal of Christian living is sacrificially giving yourself for others. The goal of Christian living is living like Jesus. Christ-like living. Is this what we're pressing on for? This vision of the goal of our Christian life, this upward call in God to imitate Christ, is set in contrast to another way of life. Look at verses 18 and 19. "For many of whom I have often told you, and now, even with tears, tell you again, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, their glory in their shame, with their minds set on earthly things." Too many strain forward to achieve earthly things, an excess of food, even more possessions to fill our already overflowing homes, sensual pleasures, food and drink and sex, the shameful glory of the world, which is not worth achieving. This is not the goal of the disciple of Jesus. This is not the upward call of God in Christ to which we are to strain for. But sadly, many in our city, in our nation, are straining for these things. Sometimes you just can't make pictures up. It's bad enough that the car's crashed into the lamppost, but he's advertising Specsavers. It just doesn't get better than that. I can remember my driving instructor. This is almost the only thing I remember him telling me when I was learning to drive. If you look at the lamppost, you're going to hit it. Remember learning to reverse round corners? In the part of Glasgow where I was learning to drive, it seemed that every corner had a lamppost on it. And he would watch me trying to reverse round this corner, and my eyes would go to the lamppost, and suddenly the car would go to the lamppost. If you look at it, you're going to hit it. And we know that that's right. Tennis players and golfers keep their eye fixed on the ball so they can hit it. What is it you've got your eye fixed upon? What is the goal towards which you are straining? Is it the glory of the world? Or is it the upward call of God in Christ Jesus and Christ-likeness and living like Jesus? What is it you've got your eyes fixed upon? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. That's the way that we will live and achieve the goal that is set before us. If we're not looking at Jesus, we're not going to become like him. And we need to become like him, because that's the goal of our Christian life. Look at Jesus by reading in Scripture, reading in the Gospels of him. Look at Jesus by meeting together with others to pray and to read the Word and to worship. Look at Jesus by serving him, by living as his people, by being generous and kind and self-controlled. In every way we look at Jesus, so we hit him. We become more like him. If you look at it, you'll hit it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Why should we press on? I press on, I strain forward. Why should Paul write these things? Why should we join in with this pressing on and straining forward? Well, the answer's easy, because we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Paul writes, not that I have already obtained this, what he'd just been writing about in verses 1 to 11, not that I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have yet already made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what is ahead. It is characteristic of the disciple of Jesus to know that we're not a finished piece of work yet. We give thanks that God has started a work in us. We are here because God has made Jesus known to us, because we believe in him. Many of us can remember that happy day when we first believed in Jesus, when we started to follow him. That day is not the end. That day is not the completion of God's work in us and our journey of discipleship. Every day we press on. Every day we strain forward for more of Jesus, for the end of this race. God has started a good work in us, but he isn't finished with us yet. And we need to keep on with him. The marathon's happening in the city today, and lots of folks will be running that marathon race. In 1968, in the Olympics at Mexico City, the marathon was held at the end of that festival of sport. One of the competitors, John Akhwari from Tanzania, fell early in the race and he badly damaged and injured his leg. But he got up and he limped on and he limped on and he pressed forward and he strained on. Until more than an hour after the winner had finished, he limped into the stadium and made that final lap round the track. And the whole stadium in Mexico City rose and applauded. And when he crossed the line and finished, some reporter stuck this microphone under his nose and said, "Why didn't you give up? Your leg was hurt, you'd fallen, you were never going to win. Why didn't you give up?" And he told that reporter an amazing thing. He said, "My country did not send me here to start a race, but to finish a race." We press on in our Christian living because we're not finished yet. God did not save us to start a Christian life, but to complete a Christian life, to finish the journey with him. We strain forward because that's not finished yet. There is more Christian living, more discipleship for all of us to do today, tomorrow, and every day till Jesus comes again. And we want to finish that race. And so we press on. I've got a friend who's a minister in Arbroath, and he told us this story. 3 or 4 years ago, they felt it was right to start a project in the town of Arbroath to help folks who had troubles with addictive problems with alcohol and drugs. And they got property in the town centre, and they were going to open every day. And they were going to make it a safe space for people to come in to get tea and food and someone to talk to. And so they bought the property, they did it all up, they got volunteers and staff, and they opened the doors, and on the first day, nobody came. And on the second day, nobody came. And the whole of the first week, nobody came. And the second week and the first month, nobody came. For 12 months, every day they opened, they set up their store, they were there to welcome people in, and nobody came. on the first anniversary, exactly a year to the day they had opened, having been opened every day and nobody came, one man came, stayed for 10 minutes, had a cup of tea, didn't say a word to anyone and left. The next day, he brought his friend. And the next day, they brought two friends. And now that is one of the most successful addictive support services being run in that part of Scotland. What would have happened if they'd given up after the first week when nobody came? Or maybe even 6 months. Isn't that a good trial? 6 months, but nobody came. We've tried. Let's give up. What would have happened if they'd stopped? But they kept going. They pressed on. They opened the door every day. And somebody came. How many of us have tried pressing on and it feels like we've given up? There's nothing special happening. We're not excited about this. It's just ordinary things. It's being kind to folk. It's being generous. It's being self-controlled. That's not special. That's not out of the ordinary. We've given up. And we've stopped pressing forward. How many of us have given up before God finished with us? How many of us have given up before God did something truly amazing? Because of our prayers and our service and our pressing on. The goal is not achieved by those who give up. The goal is not achieved by those who don't press forward. So don't you give up. Keep pressing on. Keep straining forward. That goal is set before us. How do we press on? Well, in this season of Pentecost, we should know the answer. Let me again quote from Bishop Michael's sermon from last weekend. He said, "Fire made it possible. There was no Bronze Age without fire, no Iron Age without fire, no Industrial Revolution without fire. The advances of fire and technology are greatly dependent on the human ability and capacity to make fire and use it for human good." Bishop Michael asked, did anyone get to the church in a car? We could ask that today. Did anyone come in a car? Those who came in cars have already used fire, controlled, harnessed fire, which made the internal combustion engine possible. Controlled fire is what has driven the Industrial Revolution and the advances in human life. And Bishop Michael drew out the parallels. And that's what we're going to do right now. The fire of God at work in our lives is what fuels our pressing on, is what generates the energy that enables us to strain forward. Like a great steam engine. Maybe we've had the chance to be on the footplate of a steam locomotive, or I'm sure we've all seen films or pictures of it, the driver's driving and the fireman stoking the fire and the furnace is burning away, glowing brightly. And the power of that controlled fire in the furnace turns the water into steam, which moves the pistons, which turns the drive shaft, which makes the great wheels of the train go round as it strains forward, pulling its carriages towards its goal. God has set a fire burning in the hearts of all his people. God has raged in us this great power of the fire of the Holy Spirit, empowering us all to be citizens of his kingdom. Paul writes, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." Jesus, the goal towards which we strain, is also the power in us which enables us to strain forward. God the Father, who raised his Son from the dead, is filling us with that same power. Imagine the power to bring life out of death at work in each one of us, burning inside us, that that power, that fire might be harnessed in our lives, that we might strain forward. Steam engine has two people to work it. There's the fireman who throws the fuel into the fire so it burns. God pours out his Holy Spirit upon us, who burns within us. But then there's the driver who sits with a great lever. And as he pulls the lever, so the power of the fire is released into the engine and makes it go forward. But if he doesn't release that lever, the power of the fire is not going to engage the engine and drive it forward. That train's just going to sit there. And if the fire's burning and the train's sitting there and not going anywhere, eventually it's going to explode. It's going to stop working. If you've got a fire burning in a steam engine, at some point you need to pull the lever and move the train, or the whole thing's going to stop working. It seems to me there are a lot of Christian people for whom God has poured the Holy Spirit upon. The Spirit is burning brightly inside them, but they've got that lever in the stop position. And we need to engage that lever and let the power of the Spirit engage our lives to drive us forward towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is not a day for living with the lever in the stop position. This is a day for pulling it full back, letting the power of the Spirit transform our lives from the inside out, that we become the citizens of the kingdom of God, that our lives are transformed by the energy of God which raised Christ from the dead so that we might serve him. If you feel you've tried straining on and pressing on, but you feel tired, that's because you're trying to do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. Only in the power of God at work in us through the Holy Spirit can we press on. God's doing his bit. He has promised his Holy Spirit. He has given his Holy Spirit. The Spirit is already poured out and at work in your life. You do your bit. Pull back that lever. Let the power of the Spirit engage your life. And you'll start straining forward after Jesus. Our passage might appear to end in a strange place. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm? But that doesn't sound like fire and power pressing forward. We've just been reading, Paul, you've just been telling us about the power of the Spirit to engage our lives and have us driving forward. Why should we stand firm? But what is it Paul's calling us to stand firm in? Stand firm in the Lord. Yes, stand firm in the Father who calls us upwards into the likeness of Jesus. Stand firm in Jesus who died and rose again for us. Stand firm in the Spirit. Stand firm in having that lever pulled open and the power of the Spirit energizing our lives that we might press forward. Stand firm in pressing on. Press on today and tomorrow and the next day and every day till Christ comes or calls us home. Giving up from straining forward is not standing firm. Standing still and not pressing forward is not standing firm. Stand firm in pressing on. Have you done it today? Well, do it tomorrow. And if you do it tomorrow, do it the next day and do it every day till Christ comes or calls us home. Stand firm in being citizens of God's kingdom. Stand firm in the love of Christ, which endured the cross and conquered the grave for you. Stand firm in the power of the Spirit poured out and at work in you and among you. Will you stand firm in pressing on towards the goal, which is Christ Jesus, whom God holds before us? Will you stand firm in this? Will you press on towards the goal? Let's pray together. Father, we are overwhelmed at the generous love you have for us. That generous love which is Saint Jesus to be our Savior, which has poured out your Spirit to be at work within us, empowering us as your people. We want to press on. We want to have that power of the Spirit so burning within us that we are moving forward in the likeness of Jesus. Help us today to open up that lever that your Spirit might be more at work within us. And keep us in this today, tomorrow, and every day till you call us home. So, Father, hear our prayer. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.